Hello and welcome to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr., the man who is truly glad that you're joining me for Spiritual Perspectives. As we get ready to take a look now at, I guess we could say finally, Grace and Justice. I say finally because I had been meaning to get to this and start this going, I guess, 5 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. And then it hit me. You know what? Let me go ahead and start that conversation in January 2018. So I decided, you know, one thing or another would come up and I wasn't able to get started with it like I had planned to. And then one day I said, you know what? Maybe I shouldn't be starting it now at the end of 2017. Let me go ahead and begin this discussion first month in January. So here we are, taking a look at grace and justice. I wanted to have us take a look at both qualities of God because it's important for us to know who our Creator is. We really do make a mistake when we see God only as a God of grace. But we also make a mistake when we view God only as a God of justice. He is both. He is a God of grace and he's a God of justice. And so I'd like for us to just kind of explore together what it means then for God to be a God of grace, a God of justice. What is grace about? What is justice about? Let's explore that and see if maybe we can kind of let down our defenses. You know how we humans are. A lot of times, I'm not saying always, but a lot of times, once we've developed a position on something, we will fight fiercely to hold to that position no matter what. I mean, it doesn't matter how much evidence someone may present that shows that our position is not the right position. We will hold fast to it. And sometimes to our own harm. Sometimes to our own detriment. And so I just want us, again, you know, the greatest relationship we can ever have in all the world is having a beautiful relationship with the person who created relationship. That person is God. Husbands and wives need to have beautiful relationships. And let me tell you, especially when we are followers of God, we need to make sure that both the husband and the wife are working diligently together to make that marriage as beautiful as it can be so that we represent well what the marriage between the groom, Christ, is with his bride, the church. We want to represent that well. So it's important that husband and wife have a very good relationship. Parents with their children. Those relationships are important. The siblings have an important relationship with each other. You know, there are cousins who are certainly related by blood, but they're also close friends. Their relationship is important. The relationships that we have with coworkers, important relationships. It is good when the supervisor and the ones being supervised have a good relationship with each other. Good relationships are important. They really are. People who worship together should have good relationships with each other. Good relationships where they're exercising integrity with regards to their motives. They're allowing the love of God to flow. We need to value these relationships. But of all these relationships, the one that we should value the most is our relationship with our God. Think about what Jesus said when he was asked, what is the greatest commandment? He said, the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. That's a very important relationship. It is the most important relationship. And so we want to make sure that we're learning as much as we can about who God really is so that we can connect with him properly. How many of you have had an opportunity or maybe a number of opportunities to develop a good relationship with someone, but you didn't because either you had a negative view of them or they had a negative view of you, and whoever had the negative view wouldn't even give a chance to developing a good relationship. And somewhere down the road, the one with the negative view discovered that their view was wrong and decided to give the relationship a chance. I tell you, it's so important that we value relationships. We value persons. It's good to value our dogs. It really is. And our cats. And our birds and our fish. It's important to value them. It's important to value our neighbors. But of all the persons, all the entities we can value, God is the most important. He is the most significant. And think about your relationship with your spouse. How good that relationship may be. And think about the work that goes into that. For some people, more work than others. But for everyone, work. Sometimes it may not seem like it because you're not trying to knock each other down. You're not trying to snatch each other's teeth out. And you may think, well, you may be thinking, well, we don't have to work that hard. You do work. Yeah, if that relationship is beautiful, you are working. You're putting forth effort to keep it beautiful. You put forth effort to make it beautiful. You put forth effort to keep it beautiful. You open the door for her, you are putting forth effort. You try to hear each other's viewpoint when you disagree, you're putting forth effort. Check this out. You give thought. I'm talking to both of you now, the male and the female. You give thought to how you want to please your spouse sexually. You're putting forth effort. Then you come together sexually. You're not just thinking about it now. You're thinking and you're acting. And you're working. You're putting forth effort. You're striving to please each other. You want both of you to come out of this moment together thoroughly pleased. You're putting forth effort. Even though you're having fun, you are putting forth effort. Yeah, we work to make our relationships beautiful. Our marriage is beautiful, and we work to keep them beautiful. Check this out. You're at work, or you're at school. Someone approaches you, and they want you, essentially, to cheat on your special someone. And you make it abundantly clear that ain't happening. As easy as it was for you to say that and mean it, you still put forth effort. It took some effort to say no. It took some effort to set the record straight. I mean, it took some energy to talk. Now, some people may work harder than others. Yeah, some people may have looked and said, wow, what an opportunity. And they may have found themselves wrestling with, do I say okay or do I say no? And finally they say, no, it ain't happening. And so they let the person, no, I'm gonna stay true. They put forth a little bit more effort than the person who didn't have to go through that struggle, but both of them put forth effort. Oh, wow. you bought me these flowers. Thank you so much. That's effort. You cooked him his favorite meal. And this time without him asking, that's effort. Even if you enjoyed cooking the meal, you were still putting out energy. You put forth effort. And there's nothing wrong with that. Relationships are all about effort. Even when maybe now it's not as difficult, as strenuous as it may have been 5 years ago or 12 years ago. But you're still putting forth effort. There's nothing wrong with that. You go to school, sit down, listen to the teacher, go on home, study, work some problems, go back to school, listen to the teacher again, take your notes, go home, study, work some problems again, go to school, take the test, and ace it. Cool. You put forth some effort to make that A. Yeah, every time you were listening to the teacher, you were putting forth effort. Every time you went home and studied, you were putting forth effort. Every time you worked problems, you were putting forth effort. And while you were taking the test, recalling what you had learned, you were putting forth effort. Now, someone else may only have made a C on that same test. They put forth effort too, some level of effort. And their C doesn't negate the fact that you put forth effort to make your A. Nothing wrong with the fact that we put forth effort in order to make things good, even in our relationships. So, that being the case, let's put forth effort to learn more about who God really is so that we can connect with him intimately, a strong connection. I promise you, ladies and gentlemen, there is no better person in all the world with whom to have a beautiful relationship. Can you imagine what it would be like, what it will be like to spend these years that we spend on this earth in this temporary phase of life, learning to enjoy God more and more by living in such a way that he enjoys us more and more? Mutual happiness in the relationship. And we keep getting better and better as we allow the Spirit of God to empower us more and more to live in a way that truly pleases God. We mess up, and rather than deny it, rather than play games, we admit, Father, I blew it. I sinned, and I'm really sorry. Please forgive me and cleanse me. I've got to be pure for you. I've got to be clean for you. Cleanse me from all that unrighteousness, all the filth that came with that sin. Lord Jesus, please cleanse me. I can't have the Spirit of God living in all this filth, but I need him inside me. So cleanse me. And you're right back on track, moving that relationship down a beautiful path, a path of joy and harmony, peace. Can you imagine living like that for the next 10 years, 15 years, 18 years? Then it's time for you to leave this temporary phase of life and go see God face to face. Can you imagine the joy that will bring? Think about how happy we are when we've been split up for a week or 2 weeks. Oh man, maybe a conference, maybe a workshop, maybe a business meeting. We got to be away for 1 or 2 weeks. What about sailors? Our Navy professionals who are gone for months at a time. And you finally get off that submarine or off that ship. There they are. Your spouse and your children waiting for you. The joy that brings for them and for you. Haven't seen them in 14 days, 6 months. And finally, you're together. Can you imagine being together for the first time, face to face, for the first time with someone you were loving for years? And he was loving you for years, and you both knew that love is real. And it was getting stronger and stronger and stronger. And here's the beauty of it. The more intimate we become with Christ, the more intimate he becomes with us. The more intimate we become with the Father, the more intimate he becomes with us. The more intimate we become with the Spirit of God, the more intimate he becomes with us. Remember, John, the apostle, was called the Beloved. Why? Because he's the only one of the 11 faithful disciples that Jesus loved? No. John, of all the 11 faithful disciples, I know there were 12, but there were only 11 who were faithful. John, of all the faithful, the 11 faithful disciples, had a level of intimacy. He felt and expressed a level of intimacy for Jesus that went beyond the level of intimacy that the other disciples expressed. That's part of the reason that when they were in the upper room having their Last Supper, John is the one who was next to the Lord Jesus. And here's the way it worked. They would lie down on their side in that culture very often around the table. And generally speaking, you have the circle and you're literally forming a circle and your head would sometimes rest in the chest of the person in front of you. That's intimate. While you're eating and drinking. And you'd be there for a while, not gobbling your food down in 5-6 minutes. Then everybody going out and play some ball. You'd be there for a while, taking your time eating and talking, enjoying each other's company. John the Beloved, not because he's the only one Jesus loved, but because he had a special love for Jesus, and Jesus responded to that special love. The more intimate we become with him, the more intimate he'll come with us. Remember, he said, you draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. He's the one who initiates all this. He initiates it all. He first loved us, and that's why we love him in return. He initiates it all. And it is by his grace that he keeps empowering us to get closer and closer and closer. He keeps talking with us to let us know he wants us closer, closer, closer. Get close. And both he and we enjoy the relationship even more when we're just constantly getting closer and closer and closer. So I want us to get closer to God by getting to know him better. We're going to be focusing on grace and justice. And I want you to remember now, it is not all one or all the other. God is and always has been a God of grace and a God of justice. The fact that he is a God of justice gives testament to the fact that he is right whenever he punishes us for sinning. He was right when he punished the angels who sinned. So let's learn about him. Let's not allow ourselves to get upset with God or with the scriptures when we read about the fact that he is indeed a God of justice who does punish. But let's not get upset when we learn that sometimes when we think he should be punishing, he's showing patience. Matt Redman is joined by Tasha Cobbs. Well, she's married now. Tasha Cobbs Leonard. The title of the song is Gracefully Broken.
Take all I have in these hands and multiply. God, all that I am, and find my heart on altar again, set me on fire, set me on fire. Oh, take all I have in these hands and multiply. God, all that I am, and find my heart on the altar again. Set me on fire, well, set me on fire. Here I am, God, arms wide open, pouring out my life. In awe of your name, your mighty love stands strong to the end. You will fulfill your purpose for me. You won't forsake me. You will be with me.